Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message. If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.MatthewPHoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.MatthewPHoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. Today, we are interviewing Congressman Roger Williams and his wife, Patty. Roger Williams represents the 25th Congressional District of Texas, which stretches from Tarrant County in the north to Hays County in the south and includes much of the Texas Hill Country and Austin. Roger attended Texas Christian University and afterward was drafted to play baseball for the Atlanta Braves, where he played for many years before deciding to open his first small business. He was later appointed to serve as the Texas Secretary of State and, in 2012, elected to the U.S. Congress. With his experience in owning a small business, he has become their advocate across America. Patty Williams attended Austin College, where she received a minor in marketing. She started out working in sales in the hospitality industry and is now the president of Roger Williams Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Fiat dealership. Patty is also a board member in multiple charities, including Tarrant Area Food Bank, Support Our Soldiers, Steering Women for Business, and Texas Women for the Arts. In today's recap edition episode, Kim and I will share our key takeaways from our interview with this dynamic couple. We'll break down concepts, relationship qualities, and key pillar points that they've used to build their rock-solid relationship that will stand the test of time. Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is a recap episode for Congressman Roger and Patty Williams, a killer couple from the good old state of Texas. And we had the pleasure of interviewing them. If you haven't heard that full interview, we'd love you to go back and check it out. This is a couple married more than 38 years with just a ton of great dynamic background and opportunity and true hearts of service. And we're so excited to be bringing you this recap with our takeaways today of what Kim and I took out of this wonderful interview that we hope you will apply, enjoy, and think about in your own relationship. So, Kim, I'm going to turn to you. And last time you took it first, but I'm going to still come back to you and let you go first. What was your first?
You're too kind to me.
Well, that's my job.
This is just such a humility-based couple. They are, even though they're high profile, they, again, don't think of themselves as being kick-ass. They just think of themselves as being a well-rounded, balanced couple. And I think it's important to point out that as a congressman, you can only imagine the demands that are made upon Roger to be in the public, to be a public servant, as well as we have to remember that this couple also owns a generation-owned family car business. And I think it's really important that we really look at them as this powerhouse, really super busy, have a lot going on, a lot of different vortexes happening, yet they still come together. They make time for each other. They make each other a priority. And their relationship has lasted 38 years because why, Matthew?
They are
know how to prioritize each other. And they did that in so many cool ways. And kind of tagging on, my biggest takeaway, this is kind of a different thing. And we always start off, if you've listened to our podcast, we always ask the question, what did love look like growing up? Because we are products of our parents, grandparents, whoever raised us, the role models, the people that we look to say, how are we supposed to do this thing called love and relationship and life? And what I really thought was cool in talking to both of them, both Patty and Congressman, said that it's so important to look back at their roots. And I loved looking at that history because I think it really formed who they are as a couple. It always does. And I think that for both of them, they felt loved, and it was different for each of them because we asked the question, what does love look like? And for Patty, she said, you know, love wasn't talked about. She goes, it had to be interpreted. And that really drove her as a mother and a spouse on how they formed their relationship. She's like, we're going to talk about it. We're going to express it. We're going to show it, and we're going to model it. And so she learned from her past and said, this is what we want our future to look like. She goes, it has to be addressed. And he felt the same way. And I thought it was so cool to see how they each kind of formed that, because she said, well, I felt love, but it was interpreted. Her father, she was born in Canada, but her parents were German. And it was wild because her dad fought for the Germans in World War II. And then they immigrated to Canada, and then eventually, I think, the U.S. And so she came with a very different background and interpretation of what it looked like, and she brought that to the relationship. And then conversely, the congressman, he goes, well, I felt loved. He said, but my parents, they lived in separate bedrooms. They never slept together. They, you know, I was an only child, so the center of the apple of their eye, he felt loved, and they came to all his ball games, and he learned, you know, he was formed that his mom was an entrepreneur. His dad was a businessman, got a loan from his mom to start this car business, and they learned that service was modeled. Both his mom and dad served on the water board, had public positions, and they led him to believe that this is just what you do. So you can see where he is today and what he brought from that experience. He and Patty came together and they said, we are going to be intentional and focus our relationship in what we didn't have and make sure our kids have it going forward. So they decided to create the legacy and pulled the good and really came together with that plan. And I just thought that was beautiful. That was my biggest first takeaway.
Yeah, they really came full circle and really made it a point to share with us that in their family going forward, it was lots of hugging, lots of I love yous, just really showing a lot of feeling and emotion. And I think that they were very intentional about that. And, you know, they want to keep that chain moving forward with their girls, with their grandkids. And so not going, you know, looking back on where they both came from and where they both are today, they both put in the work, the effort, and the intention to have a really solid, I believe, emotionally impacted relationship.
I agree. So that was that kind of your next takeaway was talking about that commitment. I think we were talking to them about that because you made I'm going to do the full quote. I think it was Roger that said, we have to do anything we can to keep the chain of compassion moving forward.
Exactly.
And he said a smooth road visualized. So he looks at the road the way he wants it to be, and he and Patty does too. And then they say, what do we got to do to keep it that way? So we visualize it, and then we want to make sure that they said this, I think, in reference to their kids, that they want their kids to be committed to that compassion, and they are. And they model that so well. I mean, for a full-time business, as you said earlier, in the automobile, she works full-time in the home and works in the businesses as well and supports him being a congressman. They have non-for-profits. They do so much. And they've kind of answered that call because they believe that's what they've been called to do. And you mentioned it earlier. They use the words and express love, and they have that group family hug, and they say they'll be all together looking. They'll go, all right, 1, 2, 3, hug. And you know, Roger said, if you don't love somebody, then your heart's not right, and then you can't do the 1, 2, 3 hug. So he that was kind of their litmus test too, a way they express love, which I thought was cool. But if somebody wasn't doing or able to do it, he knew something was wrong and it needed to be addressed, whether it was him or Patty or their kids. And I thought that was great, and it really was a good demonstration of commitment to each other, commitment to the family, and making sure that those hearts were right. When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now.
Sure. And then I think it's important to talk a little bit about communication with this couple, because as a high-profile couple, and with Roger's very busy travel schedule, work schedule, public commitment schedule, I know that they're separated a lot. And so I was really curious to know, how do you all communicate? How do you stay connected with one another? And I love their response. It was, we talk a lot. And so, and sometimes even we say goodnight more than one time. I might say it earlier, and then an hour later, you know, we're giving each other another good night. But we also write notes, and we also write letters to each other, which I thought was really special, because I feel like letter writing is so huge in a relationship, and it's done so little. Unfortunately, it is a dying art, but they do this. And so they're very intentional about staying connected, about communicating with one another, and making sure that they are knowing that each other is being prioritized throughout the day, even though they have crazy schedules.
I agree with you. We've talked about this a lot, and it's even a chapter in my book, Kick-Ass Husband, write a letter. And there's all kinds of different ways of communicating, right? It could be verbal, nonverbal, your body language. It could be the spoken word. It could be a touch, right? Just reaching out and a hand on a shoulder. But the written word is so great, because if that person gets that note and you're not there, there's no distraction on interpreting it, and it also never goes away. You have it. It's a constant reminder. And I've got a whole drawer full of letters from you that you've written me over the years, and other family members and friends, and the power of the written word. He talked about, the congressman said, he called it letters from left field. He's a ball player. He played baseball professionally when he was younger. Still loves the game now, loves to watch the game. He goes, I am constantly doing that, not just with my wife, but with my staff. Yeah. Just a little note, hey, I really appreciate this, and this is why, because he knows the power of it. And so he makes sure it's a regular part of his practice, not just with his the people that he works with, but his wife. And I love to see that. And they are separated by distance. And for anybody that's out there that is separated by distance, I used to travel a lot. And so when I did that, I made sure that those letters were written. I'd mail them to home. I'd leave them someplace. But even today, I really try to keep that written word an active part of my toolkit in communicating, because it's just one of many ways you can communicate your love, your respect, and that you're thinking about somebody. And relative to communication, they said too, they talk on the phone a lot, and it could be quick. And Patty said, you know, he could be in the middle of a meeting, and if I call, he'll either pick it up right then and there, or he'll excuse himself, because even though he doesn't say, well, I'm a congressman and I've got a meeting and I'm busy, he makes sure that he prioritizes her in the middle of that. So what he does as an avocation is not thrown back in her face and used as an excuse not to prioritize her. And I have heard a lot of couples and people say, well, you know, I'm a cop, you know, or I'm in a big board meeting, or I'm a principal, or I'm an attorney, or I'm in court, right? Now, obviously, if you're an attorney, you can't answer the call in the middle of a courtroom, but you can't use your avocation or what your activity is as an excuse to not prioritize your spouse. And I think that's a big thing I want people to think about and focus on, is your number one is your number one. And yes, there's circumstances and times where it might take you a while to get back to them, but you don't ever want to use your activity or your avocation as an excuse to not have that good communication.
I agree. And as a wife, I think I really appreciated that particular comment coming from Congressman Williams, because it just showed me and told me and our listeners that he has her back no matter what. If she calls and she needs to get through to him, she is able to do that. And she has a lot of security and safety in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that one other little takeaway that I loved is, you know, the congressman said, hey, when I was young, you know, I was arrogant. I wasn't real loving and real good. And I had to learn. He goes, it took me a while, probably not until my 30s. When I was a ball player, he thought he was all that. And I think Patty helped ground him a little bit. He said, you know, the older I get, the easier it is to love people because you see more good than bad. And as a congressman, he's had to have a real thick skin because people can be yelling at him and assigning qualities and intents that just don't exist. And he just smiles and looks at him. He goes, man, that's their problem if they can't see the good and express it. But we talk about that a lot. It's not enough just to see the good in people. That's certainly where it starts. How do you think about them? And that's really important because your thought informs your action. So if your thought is right, the action's going to be right. But then you got to speak it or communicate it. It's not enough to see the good. You got to communicate it. And it's just the little things. When your spouse does something that you appreciate or takes the load off, or maybe it's just seeing them, how they interact with your children. I've done that for Kim. She has the patience of Job. And in communicating with our 12-year-old son, who can be challenging certainly sometimes, she will just be calm and loving. And I might say, hey, I really love the way you communicated with him today. Or, wow, that was just a great way to see your patience expressed in those interactions. And so I think it's really important for our listeners to know, every little thing matters, and recognizing the good and speaking it is just sowing another seed of gratitude in your partner's garden.
And I believe, truly believe, that we each really long to be appreciated, and to hear those words of affirmation and appreciation just really make you feel like you're not doing a job, but that you're just living life and you're enjoying the moments that you're living life.
Yeah. Yeah. With your spouse, with your kids, all your interactions.
People need it. It's not easy. I mean, it's challenging. It's not easy at times, but affirmation is everything.
Yeah. I've never heard anybody say they get too much appreciation.
That's exactly right.
Or too much recognition. It doesn't really happen, does it?
It doesn't.
What are some of your other takeaways that you got,
Well,
Kim?
I had another one that I wanted to point out. And I love this because when we talk to them about additional pillars, they said, well, you know, we love your 13 pillars, but we really believe you need a 14th. And we've heard this one before, so it's not new to us, but I think it has prompted us to add a 14th pillar to our 13, and that is humor and levity. And they have a lot of that in their family life and with their friends. And I think that when you add humor and when you play together, it just adds another element of joy, and it really makes for that sound relationship when you're able to do that together.
I agree. I think it's, you know, humor and levity, you got to see the funny and the goodness in a situation and not focus on the bad, because if you just focus on the bad, the challenges and what went wrong, you're going to bring that more into your experience, and that's really all you have to share. And it doesn't mean we don't have those times where we might be angry or upset or frustrated, but playing together as a couple, having fun, pillow fights, tickling, going on a walk or just pointing out crazy things or playing the stupid games where you can't see something and you got something stuck on your head. We play the heads up game with our kids when they come home. All kinds of crazy things happen during COVID, right? Of asking questions and pointing to the person who you think with your eyes closed better demonstrates that. You got to do those things because it's just so much fun to do it. And they talked about practical jokes. She said, oh, we've got the fake poop and the throw up and, you know, we'd put messes around and try to catch each other and have fun. And I love that because when you think of a congressman and their spouse, you wouldn't think that they would do those kinds of things because they have to be regal and stately, but man, they don't. And they've got a great sense of humor. And I think that really leads back to their humility. They think they've been put on this earth to make a difference and to bless others that are less fortunate than they are. And man, they model that in every area of their life. They've taught their kids how to do it. They have a no-kill animal shelter. They've raised a couple million bucks for that. They're setting up ball fields for communities and neighborhoods that don't have them so kids can play sports. And I'm just so impressed how so much of their activity leads back to that purpose and that vision that they share together. And that really inspired me and makes me want to learn and strive to do more. And so I hope that you all will look at these two and this recap and go back to the interview if you haven't heard it yet. And there's a lot of great stuff there. And can't wait to meet these guys in person. My dad introduced me to the congressman when I went to TCU Parents Weekend for my little sister, who is a senior there. Gosh, she's graduating with my daughter from grad school this year. And I was just loved having breakfast with this man. He's got a spiritual heart, a heart of service, and his wife is just so wonderful in supporting, encouraging, and leading him and their children and their business. It was really inspirational to talk to them.
Yeah, they're a spectacular couple, and I was so grateful to be able to be in on that interview with them, and just to they inspired me as well, Matthew, to be more of a servant leader and to do more in my community. So hats off to them. Really, really love them.
Yeah. So if you haven't listened to the whole episode of Congressman Roger Williams and his beautiful wife, Patty, please do. And like us, if you like this episode, share it and let somebody else know who could benefit from learning how to level up their number one relationship. We look forward to having you back here next time. And remember that happily ever after does not just happen. We'll see you next time.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.